If your children here, you're dismissed to your classes. Sorry about that.
All righty. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter. We're continuing our series in this month, called The Elders in the Life of the Church, and Pastor Peter and I were tag teaming here, and one Sunday he'll be preaching, which he did last Sunday. I'll be doing the part three of the sermon series in The Elders in the Life of the Church, and then next Sunday Pastor Peter will come back and sort of finish part four. And the elders in the life of the church. And text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And gospel, if you could all rise for the reading of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 5. And after I finish saying it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord, and if you could repeat by saying thanks be to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me just pray one more time, and just a short prayer, and ask for his help. Help us be like Bereans, O Lord. Make us wise. Be our teacher now, I pray. Come and cut us to the heart. Do your work through your word. Do immeasurably more, I pray, than we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power of your word. Your word has power. So we pray for that now, this church. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Just a couple of initial observations as we continue this series, and just a couple of things that Pastor Peter said last week. Look what he says here, verse 1. Is Peter was an apostle, but he said he's an elder. He was an elder. That's what he says here. I exhort the elders, plurality of elder, not just one elder, many elders among who are qualified, and we're going through a lot of the qualifications of what an elder or overseer, or you could say pastor. One person said, oh, we never had an elder in RCCC. Yes, you did. All the pastors are elders, shepherds, overseers. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. Paul was an elder. He was also a church planter. He was an evangelist too, and he was a teacher. Peter was also a preacher. He was an elder. And so there were elders in the early church. And an elder, it seems like, he says, the three knots, not under compulsion. We saw that 2 weeks ago. in the Timothy passage, an elder who's qualified should want to do it, willingly do it, not forced to do it, eager to serve because they have the gifts of teaching and preaching and shepherding and caring. Not for shameful gain. Not that, you know, pastors make a lot of money. Okay. Enough money to live in the city or anywhere in the world. And I don't think it's just talking about greed in terms of money. It could be shameful gain in terms of power seeking. That could be a concern. I've heard a lot of just talking to you and hearing. That can be a concern. And we heard examples of other churches. I've seen examples of other churches of leaders, not just elders, but deacons, you know, and elders too, fighting and to gain power. Recognition and not domineering, lording over their power over others. The main job of an elder is not to control your life, all the details of your life. There's one main goal of an elder. I'm going to talk about that. There's a goal. The elder, understanding the Bible, understand the goal of the church, God's people, God's flock. And on this journey, this path, have you guys read the, what's that book? John Bunyan. What's that book? Pilgrim's Progress, you know? On the path, the Christian, on the path to the, to celestial city. He has all kinds of oppositions, all kinds of people, all kinds of false doctrines that Pastor Peter talked about last time. I just want to mention two main false doctrines that you should know. Elders should be helping you to avoid. And one of the most, I think, dangerous two false cult, Christian cult is Jehovah's Witness. I don't have time to go over everything about JWs. The reason JWs and Mormons, the two cults in our popular cause in our generation, is because they use the Bible, our Bible, and the same terms. They use the word Jesus, but they don't believe in the Jesus in the Bible. They pour their own meaning of what Jesus is. But many other false doctrines that the elders must prevent from the flock to believe. One of the popular ones I've her over and over and over the years, talking to Christians, young and old, is this doctrine. As long as you think positively, think about good things, not negative things. Negative things will create in a reality of bad things. If you think positively, positive thinking, it will create a reality of positive things in your life. That is not Christianity. That is New Age theology. Maybe that's the yin and the yang or something. I don't know. Many false doctrines, many more, especially in this present generation. In Acts, Pastor Peter mentioned about teaching the whole council. He was not shy to teach you the whole council, not just the New Testament, not parts of it, but all of it, Old and New Testament. Give you a general overview of the whole council. That's one of the main reasons that we are doing. We are already in the second year of Through the Bible, from beginning to the end. to give you at least a broad overview of the whole counsel of God. Alrighty. So that's sort of the kind of review of what Pastor Peter said last week, and a couple of initial observation in 1 Peter. But here's I want us to the big picture here of what an elder, his main role is. And let me start by quoting three verses that should help you to get that big picture, hopefully. Let's do that. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I've said this something similar many times over the past 2 years. In Sunday school, in our AG, on here, many times. And here's one more time. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. For Christ also suffered. Talk about the Messiah. He came on earth, took on flesh. He suffered. He died on the cross. He suffered for, why do you do that? For sin. Your and my sin. For Christ also suffered, entered into history, incarnated himself, died on the cross, really dead, really, really dead. For sin, the righteous, he was a righteous man, for the unrighteous, we were unrighteous. Now why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why did he come? Why did he die? For sinners, righteous for the unrighteous, so that we might just become sinless, free from the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin, the wrath of God. Yes, those are all true. All those must happen so that, look at the next sentence, the next phrase, that He, Jesus, might bring us to the Father, to God, where He came from. Heaven. Philippians chapter 3, 17 to 21. Philippians chapter 3. And following. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, many of whom often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame, with minds set, focused on earthly things. Verse 20, but that's not who you should be, not who you are. Be destroyed. But our God's people, what are we? Citizens of earth? No. We're here temporarily. Exiles. 2 seconds, like a vapor in the wind. But our citizenship is where? Where God is, where the Father is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus. He's sitting on the throne in heaven, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. We're going somewhere, not staying here. This is temporary stay, and we're on our way. Our journey is to where He is. All right, one more verse. There are many other verses like this. John 17, verse 3. The reason I'm doing this verse, because this verse years ago hit me like a lightning. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life. That's where heaven is, where God is, life forever. With God, that's what eternal life is. I thought heaven was just a place, vacation, flying through the crowds, you know, and enjoying this heavenly bliss, eternal vacation. No, that's not what eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, Father and the Son, whom you have sent. The goal of God's people, goal of your goal and my goal, our journey is heaven. Is heaven. Where heaven or kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, or terms you want to use, that place is all about God, is consumed with God. Talked about in Revelation and many other places what it's like. It's centered on God Himself. It's an awesome place. You been to a place like that? I haven't. Everything, the day you wake up, the day you go to bed. I don't even know if you actually go to bed in heaven. Maybe, I don't know, I don't think so. You have a house up there? I don't think we're going to have a house up there like we have a house here. No, we are part of God's house. Up there. And what the church, God's people who are redeemed, saved, okay, started this journey of the Christian life is to get prepared for this awesome place. We're not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Are you ready to be on a place where it's completely God, in the very presence of God? No. Most of our time in this world is consumed by stuff here. Have you noticed that? I'm part of that. There is just a different world. So, so different. So, so holy. God's beauty covers, His majesty, His holiness covers the entire place. Every inch. When you die, there's two places to go. You don't just cease to exist. There's two places, the Bible says, that your soul goes to. Everyone here, there's two places you go. I'm not too smart to come up with these two places. Romans 6:20. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the opposite of death is eternal life. So what's the wage? What's that death right there? It's not just physical death. That death, the wages of our sin, if not repented and forgiven by Christ, His Son, is eternal death. There's two places. Eternal death, called hell. Eternal life, called heaven. All of us are going to go to one of those places. God's people are going to heaven.
my job, the elders' job, God willing, other elders that the church will call with the qualifications. I'm not saying perfect qualifications. It's to care. It's to lead. Example. Guide God's people to that place. Called heaven. That's my main job. I'm not here past 2 years to be your best friend. You know, as we hang out, you know, and get to know each other. I mean, some people are going to be, you know, more, I guess, of my friend than someone else. But I'm not here for that. I don't think Pastor Peter is here for that. Other elders are not really here just to be make friends and them to be liked. And I do want to be liked, okay? That's not the main, to be your buddy. You know, hang out, have a good time, do stuff together. It's not my main job. It's not why I'm called here. My main job is to care, to shepherd, to lead by example. I just talk by example, caring and teaching, leading God's people to heaven. More prepared than last year. There are a lot of things that you have learned from your previous master, Satan, your previous life before you became a Christian. There are things that you have learned from the father of lies, Satan, from the world. The things that you have world that's been embedded in your mind, in your life. Things that you need to learn and unlearn. That's part of the elder's job. The main way to do that for an elder is not go and get an MBA degree or other degrees. They're not going to teach you how to get God's people, care for them and lead them and get them ready for this life in heaven forever. The main way that God does it is here. This is how God is going to care for you. The elder's job is not mainly go and caring. Maybe you think caring is go and do house visitations. It can be. That's not how I think about caring. No, my way of caring you and nurturing you and feeding you and training you is through this. I must know this. That's why I give my life to this daily. Not just for myself. So I would know it and I would teach it to you. Care for you there. Nurture you here. This is what you need. This is what I need. The things here that needs to correct you. The things here that that should rebuke, if necessary, rebuke you. Things I hear that's going to train you, not just to serve in this world, in this called the church, local church, is to serve up there in heaven. 99.99% of your life is there. There's things up there to do. It's a kingdom. I don't have time to go into what we're going to be doing up there, ruling God's kingdom. So that's the elder's main job. To do all those things through this book, the Word of God. And when you study the Word of God, you think this journey is just it's easy, you know, like living in California, you know, wake up and every day is like perfect day. I kid you not. If you live there or visited there, I mean, other than it's dry, I love dry weather. Just when you wake up, like, oh, this is like a perfect day. No humidity, barely any. It's breeze, you know? No rain. You have to cancel any events. There's no snow. There's no rain. I mean, earthquakes. But you could barely feel them. There's many every day, I hear, in California. But it's not like that. The journey is not just smooth. In the journey, you have, the Bible says, there's oppositions in this journey. There's enemies trying to stop you in this journey. And of course, you guys know, should know, all the enemies. Enemies who oppose you, stop you from getting ready to the very likeness, image of Christ. So you will live there. Of course, you know, I'm going to take one by one really quickly. Number one, Satan. Satan, you know this. John 8:44. You should memorize this. John 8:44, it says, Satan is the father of lies. 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. That was me before I was a good Christian. I was following Satan, my father, and was doing his bidding. Because I didn't know that. I was awakened, and that's what I was doing. The Bible testifies to that. In our darkness and ignorance, he was a murderer. He's doing that because he wants to kill you. Kill, destroy you. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He is a liar and the father of lies. Don't read this book. It's no value to you. Don't put a lot of time in it. It's a waste of time. Get really busy. It's not to study and know this book. There is the devil. There is Satan. Wants to destroy you with that lie. Don't put a lot of your time in this. Who cares? You know? Who cares about this book? Oh, it's good. There is Satan. Satan can make you very, very busy with the things in this life. So you would neglect this, ignore this. A dusty Bible, the Puritan says, a dirty life. So true. There is a lie. And Satan will use all kinds of lies, very subtle lies, to distract you from this. To learn this, to eat this, to study this. Invest years and hours and days and months in this. And he will. And he's really good at it. He's the father of lies. Because he doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants to distract you. And so you need to know this enemy. You need to know his methods. He has many schemes. And the elders must teach it to you. Your kids need to know that. You need to teach your kids. Satan will use all kinds of ways to lie to you and our children.
I have many examples of that, but I'm going to spare the time here. Satan, a great opposition on our journey to heaven. Don't underestimate him. He has brought down many, many of God, the very men of God over the years. All right. Number two, enemy on our journey to heaven that you must know is the world. The world that you and I live. You know, once this world was good, God made it very, very good. Everything focused on God. And we, with our sin, have remade this world to suit our own sinful desires. We created it. And look what he says in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know, almost like we should know, do you not know, God's people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me say that one more time. These are my words. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This world. Do not love the world or things in the world. For the love of the Father is not in you. Must be very, very careful with stuff in this world. We need tremendous amount of wisdom in knowing how to deal with the stuff in this world. How much time to give the world, the things in the world, how much stuff to have. That as we have sung, that we will not idolize it, make it our God. Nothing wrong to have things, but where is your heart? Your heart is what matters. I often struggle with this many, many ways, in many levels. Because in my sinful nature, I love the stuff in this world. I do. You do too. I do. And so, I was very careful. Because the world is going to try to distract you, deter you, lead you astray from pursuing the stuff in this world. Maybe not stuff, maybe just recognition. That's... Where do you work? Where did you go to school? Where did you graduate from? How much money do you make? Where do you live? What kind of house do you have? What kind of car do you have? What kind of clothes do you have? I don't know. That becomes, can consume you. Distract you from the Word. From God's Word. Very strong, strong warning. And lastly, the third enemy is you. It's me. It's you. It's you. You often fight God on this journey. You rebel against Him. Remember what God is trying to do in the church.
And I've said this example many times, and my kids will go out and have a good time outside, right? Touching things and, you know, jumping up in muddy water. And I don't know why they do that. You know, and they get all dirty, right? And so they, my wife, you know, gets all the, you know, the three kids in and all dirty and, you know, and my wife wants to clean them up, right? It's a good thing. They're dirty. They're smelly. And they want, you know, and my wife to, you know, to clean them up, you know, and make them smell good. Okay? No, no, Mom. I don't want, you know, eat or something. I don't want to do this. And they complain. And they sometimes they like say no, you know, and they fight. They rebel. I don't want to do that right now. I want to watch TV or do this and do that. Well, that's like you and me. God has a program, specific program in the Bible to clean you up, to get you ready by submitting to God's Word, to learn God's Word, to correct it, be corrected by God's Word, to rebuke by God's Word, to train in God's Word. An elder knows that. He wants to clean you up. And we often say, with a smile on our face, no. I don't want to do it. You know? We have a subtle way of rebelling in our sin to God who's trying to make us holy to the likeness of Christ, to get you ready. To most of your life that you're going to spend with God, 99.9% of your life, we rebel against God. We ignore God's Word. We twist God's Word. We pick and choose where we want to obey and we pat ourselves on the back. And you know what God says to that person? He says, that's the proud person who's ignoring the plain teachings in the Bible. It can't be more clear in the Bible about elders and deacons in the church. It is so clear. To help plurality of elders, to help, to lead, to shepherd, to care. If it's a one-man show or two-man show, I mean, we're bound. I'm one person. We're bound to have holes and different, you know, things. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. And so we need elders who are steeped in the Bible. They're reading it often. There's a quality of a future elder. You could tell the way they talk, the way they pray. Not to show off. And all the people will recognize that person. And that person should be willing. Yeah, we're not. Well, who else is really, really, you know, ready, you know, like Jesus and perfect? No, I'm still learning. I got a long ways to go. All of us, I know we do. Someone who submits not to the changing of our culture. So many churches are doing that these days. Yeah, it's been going on for more than a century. The very beginning of the church. The churches have gone with the tides of our culture. Not standing firm. That's what we need to have, like things like, you know, Reformation long time ago with Luther and Calvin and Zwingli. Many smaller reformations. Too many people are just going with the culture. What culture says. Not remaining firm and faithful in the Bible. It's called Christian liberalism, what Pastor Peter mentioned last week. Time to go through that. We need faithful men and elders to protect from false doctrine, Christian liberalism, and to care and teach and shepherd and lead through the Bible, through His truth. It's not that complicated. What gets complicated is when there's a lot of issues in the church, a lot of sins, and sins gets really complicated. And elders have to make a really a tough decision that maybe some of you will not like. But it doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's the elders who are trying to lead faithfully in God's truth, the purity of the church in His truth. Not following the culture and society, God forbid. You need men who will stand up to the truth, have courage. You're not trying to win a popularity contest here. And that's what happened, you know, when I was in college. You know, if you want to be president of the Christian Fellowship, you know, you gotta be like the most popular guy, you know? What a foolish way of, you know, electing leaders. Someone who is apt to teach. The qualification is clearly in the Bible of what an elder should be. To care, to shepherd, to get God's people ready for an eternity with God in heaven. That's the job of elders, my job. And that's what you should look in elders who care that way. And put most of their time in that. Yeah, we do other stuff. Some of the stuff, you know, I don't really enjoy, you know. But, and we have a couple more here. How God leads us to the Word of God is primary way that God, that elders should care and feed and nurture in God and be an example and many other things. Prayer and worship and the church, but we're running out of time here, and so let's continue to pray. You know, this is not, you know, after we do this series of, you know, I want to talk to you guys, and Pastor Peter wants to talk to you and carry this conversation and hope come sooner than later. You also see the need, not only because it's in the Bible, what Christ has instituted, it's because you see the wisdom in that. I sure do. Pastor Peter as well. And so, yeah. Let this series speak to you with humility. Come with humility. And submitting to God's Word. And I'm hoping our church will be like the church in Bethlehem Baptist Church in 1984, where it was very similar to this church. Church board of deacons, church board. And hopefully not just two elders, Pastor Peter and I, but more who are gifted, recognized, be part of the elder team, again, to nurture and care as He's caring and nurturing, shepherding to get ready to live with God in heaven. Let's pray. As I invite the praise team up here, the final song. Father in heaven, O Lord, we need Your help. O Lord, help us, all of us here, to bow our knees to You, O King.
the revelation of your word. That's our authority, not any man. You have given us as a precious book, this guide book, not to cater to some of people's shameful gain of whatever, but to strengthen your church, to nurture your church, to care for your church, to lead your church, to teach your church, to preach your word, faithful to your word, to your people. Oh Lord, and Lord, give this church the humility to submit to your word, I pray. Not in proud arrogance, reasons, oh Lord. For Lord, you have said that you oppose the proud that do not submit to you and your truth. But give grace to the humble who submit to you. Oh Lord, may this church, your people, submit to your truth. I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, in and through Christ.